Williams to the right, Drinkwater to the left. Walker finds Williams with space. Williams sends the kick up. Warrington win in Golden Point.
Hello, welcome back to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London, and with Wire only, yes, only 80 minutes away from Old Trafford, where are my two 4,800-second podcasters? Firstly, he's the closest on the podcast to turning 80, and he's the only podder old enough to remember when Warrington last won the championship in 1955. Why? It's Sam Sankey.
Hello.
And also, one day he'll campervan around the world in 80 days. Yes, he's the podcast's very own Phileas Fogg. It's Dennis Waywell.
All right.
Hey, episode 25, boys.
I didn't want to be here. I was thinking, oh, we'd be done now. Finished podcasting for the year, this, that, and the other. But the other side of me, I'm thinking, well, hang on a minute. If we get through the next match, there's a chance we're in the final. We could end the podcast forever.
How are you, Sam?
Really, really good. Still feeling positive.
I bet you had a happy Monday, didn't you? Yeah, you went to work full of yourself.
I had a happy Saturday night, I had a happy Sunday morning, a happy Sunday night.
Dear. It's a lot of sex, isn't it? Listen, you two, would, as soon as we finished the podcast last week, you both went, oh, well, that's the fucking end of that then, isn't it? We're not going to beat St. Helens. And here you are, conning everybody, saying like, you know, oh, how positive, bloody
hell, charlatans. Well, I'm surfing the wave, you see. I'm surfing the wave, which actually falls in line with what happened to me on Sunday. I had a bit of an accident on Sunday. So the nephew was up from Victoria. So the little two, they wanted to go out surfing. So we went down to Curl, it's a famous beach on the northern beaches. And we couldn't get in off the beach because there was too much of a swell. So we decided to go in off the rocks. And with my bad shoulder, I didn't get enough purchase off the rocks. I've gone to jump in and I've ripped my scrotum. I've cut my scrotum open. Doctor said I was lucky not to lose a bollock. A lot of blood. But just don't make me laugh tonight. That's all I'm saying. It was horrific. Absolutely horrific.
I thought it was going to be another shit yourself story. So, on balance, that's not that bad, is it?
Well, should we crack on then? Should we move into... actually, I've just got one thing to say. Apologies, our administration department fell through. It seems to have fallen through about 4.5 years ago. No one's been checking the Facebook messages.
Now, was that your job or my job?
I think you set it up, Dennis. So the problem was is that we've got a Brian Bevan page where we just get loads of plebs emailing us every week. Every day we get about 6 or 7 messages. But then we also set up a second page, which was a What Would Brian Bevan page, which I've never checked.
We haven't got the password either, don't forget.
We got a lovely, nice email from a wealthy elderly gentleman who lives in Lynn. And he said, you want to check your Facebook messages. So I did. 1,200 messages, of which 357 were pretty much decent letters. So Sam's going to write to them all this week, which is nice.
Yes.
Most
personalised Christmas cards.
Yeah. Oh, dear. We just need to shut it off, Dennis. Get rid of it.
I don't know the password.
I've only got it on my phone because I don't know the password.
No, I know. We both don't know what the password. If you remember, we've got about 3 or 4 pages and we kept forgetting the password. So I think we're a bit fucked.
It does post the podcast, though, there automatically, I found. So who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Okay, the review of St. Helens in the quarterfinal eliminator. The team was Dufty, Thulis, Ty, King and Ashton, Williams and Drinkwater continued in the halves. Yates, Walker and Musgrove started in the front row. Bateman, Nicholson and Curry continued at 11, 12 and 13. Interchange bench was Powell, Harrison, Vaughan returned and Philbin. Here's the highlights.
Drinkwater to Williams, they're moving it wide, they're creating numbers, and they're going over! His first try! Toby King slices through to score!
Come on, come on, put your hands up.
Mark Waits gets the ball away here now, they're moving through the hands, they're going through the numbers, ball over the top, chance for Makinson! Wow, has he got it down? The Saints fans celebrate!
Pull up, pull up, from one extreme to another. From the sun.
They're all here, all the big guns. Are they about to deliver? Short pass to Percival! He's in! Matt Percival celebrates! This is the last one. Saints are going to go short side. They're in! They're over again! The Saints are desperately trying to get some troops over that side of the field. Here is Williams. Williams, what an offload! What a try! Magical from George Williams! Well, here's Williams, he's the go-to, OK, fires the pass to King, and it's a magical pass again! Oh, poor pass, really poor pass, Warren to tap it back, here they go! He's going over Ashton! Disaster for St Helens! Dodd gets it to Lomax. Here's Matautia, gets it to Benison. Has he got it down? He's on his way. He has kicked it. Williams to the right, Drinkwater to the left. Walker finds Williams with space. Williams sends the kick up! Warrington win in Golden Point!
Put your hands into the fire, come on, come on.
Final score, Warrington 23. St Helens 22. There was two tries for King, two tries for Ashton. Thulis kicked three from four, and that all important drop goal from Williams. Attendance a healthy 12,111. Referee was Liam Moore. Penalty count was 5-3 in Warrington's favour. Now I bet Sam had a good night. Sam was there. Sam was there.
Yes. Hey, and before Sam kicks off, he's so relaxed tonight because Rob's put a timeline for the match. And look at him, how relaxed he is. So, you know, give us the preamble first, Sam. You know, get into the ground and the atmosphere.
Warrington Market. Warrington Market.
It was No. Preamble started way before then. I actually spent the whole day with Mrs. Sankey. So the preamble started at Altrincham Market with some sourdough, some hummus. We bought some hummus and a couple of coffees before going to Lim and a bit of meat from the butchers and then a little walk with the dog and then Warrington Market. So let's move on. three Aperol spritz and two wines. That's what it cost me on the first round.
Yeah, I saw those. Yeah. We were in unison because Mrs. London and Sister London were up from Melbourne and they were drinking those as well. So I think I sent you a picture on that, Sam. So yeah, it's great. Where were you, Dennis? You were kayaking, but you weren't kayaking.
Well, I was supposed to be kayaking, but it was cancelled. So then I thought, oh, I tell you what, I'll watch the match, and then realised that it's not on my Super League Plus anymore. That's finished. It was just regular season matches. So then I thought, oh, God, I better get a Sky pass for a month. Got that, and then realised it was on the BBC. So yeah, that was
Oh, did you
fucking
watch the
annoying, wasn't it?
BBC coverage?
No, and I tell you what. Somebody close to the family who watches it said, "Oh, they were biased on the BBC." So I said, "Oh, I'll put it on and like have a look." And then that lady came on, and I was like, "Oh, Jesus! Glad I didn't listen to this."
I mean, we just listened to the highlights and we went with Sky highlights, and I thought, and it's actually easy for me to rip the highlights into the file from the BBC. However, when I went to the BBC to listen to the highlights, just no, there was just nothing. It just didn't have that same edge, that sizzle that the chap on Sky did. So, yeah, Sky won, the BBC nil, unfortunately. Yeah.
He did. He loved it. He actually built and built and built because I might have watched the game back.
Yeah, it was way better. The guy on the is he from Bradford, that bloke? I always forget where he's from. I think he's from Bradford, isn't he? Yeah, and it did it on Sky. Okay, right, let's move on to the timeline. Sam's very comfortable with this. Okay, right from the kickoff, Makinson loses the ball in the sun and knocks on from the resulting scrum via build pressure, and an overlap sees King crash over. Thulis misses the conversion, but what a start. 4-0.
Yeah, and the ground was absolutely bouncing. I've not felt the atmosphere like that, particularly over in the North Stand, where usually we're a little bit more reserved. I've not felt the atmosphere like that for some time. And
Were you so sober, Sam? Sober?
oh, more or less, yeah, I'd only had two drinks. It
Right,
was an
right.
important game. I was concentrating on the game.
Were any drinks spilt? After
Oh.
that first try,
Oh
you know, that's the thing.
Never spills his
No.
drink. Never spills his drink.
Too
My goodness.
expensive. But yeah, the ball went up, he knocks on, and as you rightly say, Rob, we passed the ball lovely along, and King,
Easy.
yes.
Made the right option as well, didn't he? Sort of, he's
He
a big
did.
lad and he got close enough to the line and went, I'll just dummy this and I'm in. And in he went. Now, I can't pronounce this new Japanese art, Dennis, that Burgess has started to use. However, we did put the ball up in the sun, very similar to what the Japanese pilots used to do when they came out of the sun in the Second World War. So I
It's a
just wondered if.
different Japanese word, though, that isn't it? That one, what you're referring to.
Don't
I
know, but
think
it
that was the
seemed to
thing.
work. Have you studied any of that this week, Dennis? Have you had a look at that?
I have actually got that book.
Oh.
I got it from Mrs. Waywell for Christmas about 2 years ago. She did read some of it, but
And did
I
it
forgot to pick it
how
up.
was the Mrs. Waywell effect after reading the book? What's it
Oh, she
called,
was
by the way?
very
How do you
positive.
pronounce the word? What's the word?
It's like Ikaiga.
Ikigai, something like that, isn't it? Yeah. Ikai.
Sorry.
Right.
Can I just clarify, Sam? Was the sun as bright as Tommy Makinson was making out? Because for about 5 minutes after, he kept
No,
sort of going, oh,
no,
pointing at it.
no.
So
He
was
was
it just.
leaving nobody in any doubt that the sun might have been in his eyes, wasn't he? Yes.
Growing up, we all used to get verrucas, and then they sort of said it was just a bit of a fallacy and just run with it. And when Dennis and I were at Padgate College, everyone was getting welder's arc. Is that also now? Does that exist? Is that another thing? Did he have welder's arc? Do you know what welder's arc is,
Yeah.
Sam?
Do you know what that is,
Is
Sam?
that when you just see a dot after you've put the thing down?
It burns the outer lens of your eye and it peels back so it feels like you've got a scratchy eye. Yeah. Rob used to do it all the time just to annoy everybody when we were at college.
12th minute, and does Makinson have too much momentum for King to push him into touch? The Catalan-bound winger dives over in the corner, and Liam Moore sends the decision up as a try. Due to the low-resolution pinhole cameras covering the game, there is not sufficient evidence to overturn the decision. Percival adds two from the touchline, and it's Saints 6-4 up. What do you think? Where were you, Sam? Was that on your side or on the other side? Could you
On our side, but at the
did you have a
far
view of
end, we
that?
not really. No. The best view I got was sent to me from Australia about 5 minutes later
Oh yeah.
with what do we say? Just the toe, the knee, the hip out of touch, in touch or something.
Yeah, it was. We got a lot of. We actually went fishing because I put that up on X, and oh, the St. Helens fans didn't like that.
Yeah.
They didn't like
no,
it.
They didn't.
Got called every name under the sun.
It raised a question for me because they were saying like, "Oh yeah, the ball's down." But if it's simultaneous, is what is the ruling there? If it's simultaneously, you're outside or on the line, and the ball's down, because the
out.
Photograph that you put out there was that.
Mm.
Yeah, and I don't know if you simultaneously touch down with the defender and you both go same ball, it's the attacker has the advantage. But I don't know about I don't know about on the sideline though.
So we've just come up with something. Is that we've got a rule that we don't know. Six years of podcasting,
we don't know. Don't know. Yeah, the refs know.
Yeah, but we've not asked a ref. We're just asking ourselves now. So we need people to write in to Sam and clarify that.
Well, again, I have to pull. I think it's Sam's fault. I think we have to look at the administration because at one point Sam was in contact with the referees, and I don't think he ever followed that through, did he? I think he's left that one.
Yep. When are you meeting up with him, Sam?
I followed it through, and I don't know if it was cause and effect. Mr. Ganson left his post just a couple of months later.
Jesus. Okay, let's write a letter but to Ben Thaler.
Tackle bags suggestion for you here, Dennis. All linesmen wear GoPros. Because again, he was in the way. The GoPro linesman. Never mind the referee.
Yeah, just so the listener knows, he's actually banned tackle bags, and he keeps coming up with tackle bags ideas. I have been making a note, but I've been collecting all the tackle bags idea for the final pod of the season. So,
oh, Christ.
Fear not.
22nd minute, Dufty breaks, and he's tackled and held down for what seems like a fortnight. However, Liam Moore does not signal six again. I mean, I spoke to Alan London last night. It wasn't just a holding down. It was a yellow card almost. I mean, it was that long. Mm. Nothing. What's going on there, Sam? I mean, you must have been able to see that from the stand. Were you not screaming away?
That was more or less in front of us. And yeah, the whole stadium was getting more, or felt like we were getting more and more frustrated by Saints slowing the game down, and they're doing it very well. And don't get me wrong, if the shoe had been on the other foot, we wouldn't have been screaming that he's holding him down long. But again, there seemed to be a slightly different interpretation of refereeing on Saturday compared to earlier in the season. All the better for it, but don't change all of a sudden. That was a
clear penalty, and it was poor refereeing by Liam Moore, who again did it twice more in the game. It seemed to me every time Dufty broke, and he broke on three occasions, they lay on, and not once did we get a repeat set. It was almost as if, oh well, it's Dufty who's broken through, so you have to sort of let the defender have a little bit more time to get up because it's Dufty. No, it's the same rule for any player that goes through. So I thought really poor reffing. I'd watched the NRL the day before. There was a lie on right at the start. Boomf. Penalised it six again. They did it about 5 minutes later. No more through the rest of the game. And he just let it go all night. I thought he was really, really poor ref on and he could
just
have.
Just specifically on the slow play of the ball, you mean?
Yeah. Just thought it was really, really poor. Really, he missed it completely.
I'm looking at this as a positive. I think they've been told to put the cards away, and maybe they haven't got any cards in their pocket.
Well, they can't get them out anyway.
No, I know. We know that, but we've got a tackle bag's idea for it. But the point is that maybe for the playoffs that there is this thing of like, you know, we're not going to give as many penalties and certainly not going to give any cards away. I agree. I think he was definitely a card under normal circumstances. The Dufty one in the second half was even worse. And actually, when you watch the video, none of the Saints players, apart from Darryl Clark, actually got back on side, even after he played the slow play of the ball. They were so far offside, they were running back.
Mm.
And that wasn't penalised. So it's a double whammy there.
It's a real shame that Ben Thaler's retired.
I think it is. I like Ben Thaler. I thought he was actually Kate. He went through a period of, like, you know,
obesity.
And then he came back, and then he actually thought, actually, I was well respected. I think he's a good, fair referee.
You two later. Change like the wind, don't you? You two really do change like the wind.
24th minute, Saints go close on Wyer's right edge, and it ends with Percival spinning out of Thulis's last-ditch tackle to score. Percival converts, and it's 12-4 to Saints. They were dominating at this point, weren't they, a little bit? I mean, off the back of Liam Moore not giving us that penalty, we should have had a penalty, and it should have been down the other end. It could have easily been, you know, 10-6 to us, but they were taking their opportunities. So I thought throughout the entire match, they never looked like scoring from their own half. They're lacking a bit of pace, that team, and we've got bags of pace. They almost needed to get close to our line to score.
Well, actually, I was going to come on to that in the second half, that we threatened, particularly Ashton, threatened on two or three occasions that he half got through the line. He threatened that he was going to go the length of the field. So, yes, I did feel we had more of a threat, without using the word threat too many times in one sentence, that we had more from distance.
I think you only used it once then. Didn't you only use it once in that sentence?
Three times.
Did he?
But
can you break Burgess's nine times of momentum?
Moment. Did it feel like they were on top though, Sam, in that first half?
Yeah, it felt like they were starting to get on top in the forwards. Yeah,
that's what I felt at home watching it on my fucking £33 fucking Sky Tether.
So we're 24 minutes in. Have you been for a piss yet, Sam? Like, what's the routine? No,
no, no, no, no. No, I'm not drinking beer. If I'm drinking pints of beer, I'm not very good with them.
When I used to sit in the Wilderspool stand, this is the one that got burnt down. This is how long ago it was. There was a bloke on the row, two rows in front. He'd have about four pisses before half time. I used to think, what's the point coming? And he had arthritis as well, so he couldn't get back up the stairs. And oh, the poor bloke. Oh, he'd be dead now.
Oh, God, he's doing this again. He always does this, Sam, every fucking time. Everybody we've known, they'll be dead.
Yeah. 32nd minute, it's all too easy for Saints as they're on a roll, making some smashing over for his second. Percival, though, however, misses the conversion, 16-4. Felt like the game had gone, Sam, at that point. I mean, Dennis was quickly writing a script to get rid of Sam Burgess.
Not gone, but just starting to worry when they went 16. Not at 12-4, but at 16. And you suddenly thought, it's very, very important that we score next to stay in touch.
And we did. 36th minute, just before half-time, Wyatt are given a lifeline. Williams weaves in and out, seemingly running out of pitch, but the genius flicks a lovely ball back inside for Ashton to score. Thulis pops over the two to make the interval scoreboard 10-16. Forward pass to Ashton?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just asking.
That is the corner we are. We're on the 20-meter line, right in front of us. Yeah. And I have to say, I thought all the way through the game, Williams was outstanding. He threatened and he threatened and he threatened.
Again.
That's three
Five,
times.
Six. Yeah, that's yeah, six. Yeah.
So, and he was a real threat all the way through the game.
Fucking...
But that was just a piece of genius, as you say in your notes there, Robbie. A piece of genius and a really, really important try at an important time.
Dennis, where were you at this stage, mate? What were you doing?
I thought when that try in for Saints, I thought, oh, that's it. But then that Ashton try came as a result of an error, I think, from St. Helens, and they started to show a few signs. It was late, But they were starting to show a few signs of being tired. And I think me and you had a nice, pleasant exchange about that at half-time as well, didn't we?
I thought some of them weren't match fit. I know they patched them all up and got them all out on the field, but I just thought they looked a bit ragged by half-time. It was such an important try. Really got it changed the whole team talk at half-time, didn't it? The Japanese word that we can't pronounce, iki iki aka. How is that of a benefit? Because if Burgess puts that up on the wall at half time, to me, there's just too much going on. There's too many overlaps.
I did send you a picture of that, didn't I?
Yeah, you wrote bollocks on it.
No, I didn't. I put shit. That's right. When you look at it, it's I'll read it out actually for the listener because I've got it in front of me now. It's there's four circles interlocking, if you like, and ikigai is in the middle, and it's surrounded by terms like what you love, passion, mission, what the world needs, vocation, profession, what you can be paid for, and what you're good at. So
right.
They're all positive, interesting points.
When I was at school, wasn't this a Venn diagram?
It is. It's a Venn diagram,
similar.
Sam.
There you go. When I was going through a difficult moment in my life and I was seeing a psychiatrist, all my boxes intertwined. And I had quite a successful career at the time, and she said to me that that was very unusual. She said people that, you know, have done okay for themselves normally have boxes. They don't overlap, whereas mine was an absolute clusterfuck. So interesting that he's using that one.
And she was probably after more work, making you more depressed like that, wouldn't she?
I stopped going. She wanted cash.
Yeah.
We had a big argument about it. Fifty-fourth minute, Williams with a brilliant spinning flat pass, fit for a coronation, finds King. King goes over and then takes a sharp right as he heads towards the sticks. It leaves an easier kick for Foulis. Scores are all level at 16-all. King had a good game. I thought King ran strongly, took a couple of lovely passes to score. That one in question. At that point, Sam, I thought we're home and dry. I just thought the tide had turned. And we were on our way.
Yeah, the complete opposite of the first half, where I felt we were starting to come under pressure, and they were getting on top. Just the opposite. It felt we were on top. It felt we were making more meters. It felt they were starting to run out of ideas.
Any food at halftime, Sam? Are you still nibbling away on something? 54 minutes in.
No food. No. Food was beforehand.
Do you nibble, Dennis, during the match? Or do you have any food?
No, not really. No, just can't. Yeah, I don't let it interrupt the drinking.
What's
really
the setup in the Waywell households? Talk me through where you're sitting, what the front room looks like, where Mrs. Waywell is. Is she intermittent in her watching, or
Mrs.
is she watching?
Mrs. Waywell, she does like to do the crossword and read the paper. So it's sort of like I look at her and she's looking at the screen. And then when you've got that peripheral vision, I think her head's dropped down to looking at the crossword or something again.
Which crossword are you doing? Which paper?
It's the eye. Yeah. Right, she does all the puzzles now. She can do them all. It's like all sorts in there. Minesweeper, Zygle X, all this shit.
Grandma London, who lived in Orford, she would only do the Scottish crossword because she thought the English crossword was too poor. She was an English teacher, English headmistress. However, when she did it, she would only fill in the letters on the cross-sectional parts of the crossword. And when I asked her, she said it was to save the pencil.
You know, bullshit comes out of his mouth, doesn't it? Bloody hell. So anyway, just stick it on the box and have a drink.
And
so
are you in front? What are you on the settee? Are you in a chair? What?
I've got, obviously, with my bad back, I've got a few cushions behind me. And I tend to get up.
Get your legs up for some circulation. Yeah.
But I get up and walk about when there's like a video ref decision or something. I think, okay, I'll probably go make a cup of tea or something, or, you know, this, not the other. But yeah, that's it, really. Nothing else to add, really, on that.
66th minute, Daryl Clark forgets he's no longer playing for Wire. His loose pass is deftly flicked on by Drinkwater to King, who sends Ashton on his way to an open try line. Thulis adds what will turn out to be a very important conversion, 22-16.
Now, this try for me started 2 minutes prior in our set. And for the first time in the half, Williams was kicking on the front foot. He was even able to take two or three steps forward towards the Saints' defensive line, who were no longer pressurising. It meant the fullback caught it inside his own 10 metres and a good set of defence. They were suddenly under pressure, still in their own 30, forcing Clark. And we've actually seen that pass, as good as he's been for Warrington, we've actually seen that pass every now and again. Just a little bit of a lack of composure, and he throws it wild. And again, his kicking was a bit hit and miss, but Drinkwater played a very important part there as well, getting to the ball first. And
his only part.
His only real important attacking part. Yes,
such an important point.
Cameo flick, as I'm calling it. Yeah,
game changer.
76th minute. The game seems to be won. But on Wire's sixth tackle, Drinkwater lofts up a poor, lackadaisical kick. It means Saints get the ball back in a reasonable position, which is then improved when Powell gives away a penalty. From the resulting attacking start, moments later, Bennison dives over in the corner. With the HJ shaking on the hooter, Percival converts superbly from the sidelines, and it's 22-all. Time for golden point.
Were you watching this, by the way? You've asked us where we were. Where were you?
I had a shocking weekend of sleep. So I've got the nephew up who's 8 from Melbourne. His little sister came as well, who was 5. Lovely to have them up. But my goodness, they were up at 4 a.m. on Saturday, 4 a.m. on Sunday. I ripped my bollocks open on Sunday afternoon, 4 a.m. on Monday. I was exhausted by the time they left. Absolutely exhausted. We went out
The game then? So when the game came on, were they up and about? Well, is that what you're saying?
No, they're not up and about. But normally I would come down to the bedroom down the far end of the house to watch the game. Where Sam vacated.
Oh, yes. I know exactly where you're talking about.
However, because we had 8 people in the house, I was in bed with Mrs. London. And so I'm trying to be quiet, and she said, I can't believe you didn't jump up and down when, you know, Warrington won. I said, I suppressed it, and my back spasmed, and I couldn't walk on whatever.
She's not asking you to jump up and down for a while, has she, really? You know, so that's the thing. It's a coincidence that your bollocks have been ripped off as well on the same weekend.
Don't talk about
anyway,
that.
So what did you watch this? Did you feel the pressure?
I was WhatsApping you for most of the game, and Sam. We were all having a WhatsApp, weren't we? We were all there. Mm-hmm. No, I just thought I thought it was typical Warrington. We'd won the game. It was all, everything was fine. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, what the fuck was that? When Drinkwater did, he had loads of time.
Yes.
And it was the shittiest kick in the world. I was just like, for fuck's sake. And I'm like, am I the only one who's noticed that? And I went on my phone, and everyone was just going off at it, going, that could have lost us. That's the thing, you see. It could lose you the entire season, something like that. And that, for me, sums up why he's just not good enough to play in this team, is that moment of just... He also did a really poor kick in the first half down the throat to Welsby, where we sort of lost the ball and it went all around the field. And then in the end, it did come to him and he had lots of time. He just kicked it to Welsby. All the time in the world. No.
So you were anxious.
I think they mentioned it on Sky. I mean, Saints' golden point record is very good, and ours isn't brilliant because we haven't been in that many golden points. And then I think they won the toss, didn't they?
They did.
But Mr. Philbin suddenly appeared. I think he came up with two barnstorming runs. Got us on the front foot, Sam.
In Golden Point, we actually drove the ball in 13 times across the whole thing. Philbin took 4 of those drives.
Wow. There you go.
Two of them in that first set.
Do we know how many drives Saints had?
in Golden Point, they only had one lot.
They only
had one possession, didn't they? Yeah.
That was it.
We had first possession, got a penalty, went down, missed the drop goal.
Yeah.
They had the possession, kicked out on the full. We had possession.
Oh, that's right. Percival sliced it. I mean, so, just those moments, isn't there, when pressure's, in, you know, Percival with that kick.
Moments.
Moments, yeah.
Moments, yes.
Just those little moments make all the difference.
But just before we get on to the moment and when the crowd went wild, looking back on it, I feel this performance from this team, whilst not perfect, showed the difference where they are. When we were 16-4 down, when Makinson goes in for his second try, in previous years, we've crumbled. We've just gone away, we've crumbled. We came back to a winning lead and somehow managed to contrive to end up in Golden Point. But in Golden Point, I don't know where we got the belief, the energy from, but albeit it was only 4 minutes it lasted or whatever, we just dominated that 3 or 4 minutes straight from kickoff, the barnstorming run by Philbin. When we missed the first drop goal, our defence to smack them four times and force them into trying to run the ball from there again. I don't know where we got that. Well, I know where they got it from. They got it from an inner belief, but where this inner belief
Icky
is
Gaia.
The difference.
Okay. You lost me at crumble because I'm quite hungry. I'm itching to ask Dennis, what's his favourite crumble?
It's rhubarb crumble.
Oh, no.
Put plums in it as well or something like
so
that.
Plum
crumble.
So tart, Dennis.
I really like that. Yeah, put a bit more sugar on it than normal because you just take that.
What, like 4 kilos?
Yeah, about that, yeah. I mean, pretty much when I have that, I am actually wasted for about 2 days. It's like having a load of ketamine sprinkled on top, if I'm honest. Not that I know what that's like. Just put that disclaimer in there.
83rd minute, Williams' drop goal is charged down, but on Wire's next set of six, they cannot be denied, with man of the match Williams dropping over a magical 1 point. Final score, Wire 23, Saints 22.
Hooray!
I'd just like to say, when I was watching this drop goal, and I don't know if you felt the same way, Rob, because Sam might have had, he did definitely have a different angle on it. But when he kicked it over, the camera panned away from the players to the post, and you've got no perspective to see if it's gone over. So what do you look for?
And flashing post.
It was the referee. Well, I was looking at the referee, and he dramatised it, if you watch it, he actually dramatised it. He slowly turned round, left it a second, and then put his hand up in the air and blew his whistle, and then it panned back to all the players. So I thought it was quite dramatic, actually. It was a good end. What about you, Sam?
Sam Powell gave me the first moment because Williams dropped it and he started to run backwards. The ball's in the air, and I just saw Sam Powell put his hand up, like number one, and I thought, it's there. So Powell of the players was the first one to see it. Well, other than Williams, clearly knew it was going.
Rob, because it was in the morning for you, did you get an erection at that point?
I've lost most of my blood down there, Dennis. There's nothing going on down there now.
This is the punditry they just don't have on Sky, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Now, I was a bit worried because I had palpitations and Dennis wrote and said he'd had a heart attack and we weren't hearing from Sam at this stage because he was, you know, clearly under his seat. Alan London, you know, he turned 107 last week. And so I FaceTimed my mum on Sunday and she said he got that. He doesn't drink. He's not a drinker. He had a whiskey. He couldn't eat. and he went to bed early.
Jesus, so, when's the last time he had a whiskey?
I don't know. He had to have a whiskey to calm himself down. He's under a lot of, he's been in a lot of trouble with the production crew this week, obviously with the filming going on in Thelwall. He's told Sean Bean to fuck off because he was sitting on his wall. He's also been told off for mowing the lawn because they were filming some, you know, scene. Yeah. And he's not happy with the transit van they've stuck up his driveway. So Graham across the road hasn't moved his bin until they gave him £50. So
You've got to get your dad on that, haven't you, Ray? He's got to be charging him for parking on that. He would have charged me if I came around in my car.
Well, let's have a look at the game percentages. Now, they kind of fell in the favour of Saints, Sam, really. The carries, there was only 1% difference in the carries. Carries 50.5% went Saints' way, 49.5% Warrington's way. Post-contact meters, Saints won by 4%. 52% of the post-contact meters went Saints' way, 48% Wires' way. The runs from dummy half, though, however, Mr. Clark, not as busy as Mr. Walker. Runs from dummy half, 59% Wires' way, 41% Saints' way. Tackles, Saints did have to make more tackles, 52.2% compared to 47.8%. And play of the ball in the opposition 20 was dominated by Saints, 54.8% compared to 45.2%. Any more on that, Sam? Any more sort of stats that sit there?
A couple of other things of note in particular was how many tackles we broke compared to them. Mm-hmm. We broke 50 tackles. In particular, the aforementioned Ashton leading the way with nine tackle breaks, but Dusty leading the way with 11 tackle breaks. That comes back to what I felt earlier. We only once managed to get away from deep, but we kept looking like we could at any moment. Mm. And this one stat you didn't pick up on there. Warrington scored 51% of the points, which is what matters in sudden death play.
Mm. Curry, 54 tackles from Curry. Nicholson, 40, Walker, 35, Yates, 33, Harrison, 26, Powell, 19. Meters forward, Dufty, 212, Ashton, 187. Boy, he runs with some ferocity when he runs at the line. Yes. King, 123, Ty, 89, Foulis, 87. A little bit, scratched my head a bit about Vaughan's meters. Vaughan only ran for 49 meters. In comparison, Philbin ran for 81. Was Vaughan not fit? What happened there?
Couple of things, and I've not heard anything of it, but both Vaughan and Musgrove didn't come back on the pitch after they did stint.
Right.
So you would have expected Vaughan to have, especially to have come back onto the pitch, but he did one stint and went off.
Can I just stop you there? If this podcast was about another like 15, 20 years ago, when you opened up then and said Musgrove and Vaughan, I thought, oh, they've been drinking in the ship or something like that, you know, the night before. I thought that's what you were going to say, because that used to be the thing, didn't it, back in the day? Yeah. Rob's looking confused.
I saw Bob Jackson in the Lion last night and he was pissed. Yeah, no wonder they can't win, that type of story.
As you go down Bridge Street, right, and the one that takes you to, I've been gone for too long, the one that takes you towards the Halliwell Jones, if you're coming from Warrington.
Winnick Road.
So we're just getting to the bottom there. And then on the other side of the road, there was a biker's, was it called the Angel? Was it the Angel that was that biker's pub on the right?
Is there a Lower Angel? But that was on Bridge Street or something, wasn't it? Oh, I can't remember that.
Yeah,
it was
a Hot Pole. Buttermarket Street.
Hot Pole's on your left.
Yeah.
Keep walking down, and one on the other side of the road on the right.
Was the Prince of Wales. The Prince of Wales, and prior to that, I don't know what it was, but it was...
Dennis and I went in there after college once when we were 17, and a biker came in the toilets and got hold of my willy.
It always goes in that direction, doesn't it? Why?
Yeah, but this happened. This is all the stuff that happened. It's just ridiculous. Otherwise, you forget.
I've got one of the players' stats for you. Mm, by process of elimination, John Bateman made 41 tackles.
Oh, excellent, Sam. Well done.
Missed three for a tackle success rate of 93%.
Mm.
Only carried the ball nine times, though, for just over 50 metres.
I thought the commentator from Bradford, he does know the game, and at one point he mentioned that Bateman had just run downfield about 70 metres with his head down. You know, he chased a kick. And that's NRL quality. That's the difference when you watch it here. They just, they don't get on the pitch unless they do that kind of stuff. And I think that's why we brought him in. You know, it's that unseen stuff that goes on.
He got a big hug off Mr. Burgess after the game. There was some serious jealousy from Danny Walker when he saw Bateman having a big hug.
I have to say, on the debatement, I've been more impressed with that part of the game, the defence and that chasing down kicks, than the going forward bit. But, you know, fair play. He definitely makes a difference there.
It's just knackering, isn't it, rugby league? It's just barbaric. It's just absolutely just doesn't stop. Okay, all right. Well, in the other quarterfinal eliminator, Salford 6, Lee 14. Didn't watch it. I saw I did see the Charlie incident where he sort of did that full flip. Thought he'd broken his neck. Thought he'd broken his neck, but he's all right. He's all right. He's out of hospital, which is good.
Yes. And all set up for a Warrington Lee final.
Oh God. I mean, Lee have got a few players injured and maybe HIA out for the Wigan match. Are we going to say this is going to be a walkover for Wigan? Is that what we're all saying?
We'll come on to that in the predictions. For the moment, it's our moment. Well, if you feel alone,
campers, it's Madam Boyd here, your trusted Primrose and Blue Coat. Can I remind anyone participating in the Sam Burgess Moments afternoon to be in the Richie Thackeray Hair Salon no later than 5:30? The Burgess Moments course will run for approximately 1 hour. And headsets will be provided for translation purposes. Hi. Daryl, dear. Daryl, have you finished, dear? Have you had your moment? Have you had your moment, dear? Oh, perhaps not.
Oh, Sam, can you believe it? We're only 80 minutes away from Old Trafford. Oh, I haven't been so excited about a semi since I followed Tanya Arnold up the Wembley steps and caught a glimpse of a Harry Sunderland trophy. Oh, for that matter, when I was a scout and washed John Bevan's car during Bobber Job Week.
Well, it put lovely was to bring the players' camp together with my moments and introduce the team to the ancient Japanese artist Iki Kiki Ai 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 Ai.
Oh, yes, Sam. Although I think making the players dine on sushi in the camp's canteen was a step too far. Why, Chef Benny Westwood had his moment rolling out those tempura raw sausage sashimi baguettes. Try saying that from Yorkshire. Maybe you better not.
Professor Bloomer had his moment, Ralpho. Enjoying his missile soup.
Oh, good heavens, Sammy. He drank enough to fill Appleton Reservoir. talking of which, I haven't seen any shots of Toby King having a moment. You know, with his top off in Pitmere Lake.
No, Ralpho. I've put a ban on all social media moments. So not to distract the players from their moment.
Oh, what a moment of excellence. We don't need another moment after Pitt's factory opened his big mouth, announcing yet another overweight, shite rugby union public school boy. Where on earth does he get his egotistical moments from?
Apparently, he met him during the moment at the televised fishing competition.
Oh, what exactly were they trying to catch in the moment?
Well, Walter, the quiet, dormant bottom dwellers that just float back and to on the tide with no real purpose in life other than feeding on the moment or on titbits placed in front of their nose.
Sorry, Samuel. Are we still talking about the fishing moment or just drink water? Now, Sammy, have you run over your moment when you deliver your final moment of motivational speech?
No need to, Ralphie. I've voted a man who's been at the heart of the game's moments since the start of the century.
Is that your moment, Mother?
Oh, Tackle Sacks. What on earth gave you the idea to bring Ben Zahala for a moment like this? Why, even Steve Anderson would have drawn a line under that, and he had a 2,000-page player's manual. What on earth will Stuart Middleton think in the moment?
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
You know what, lads?
You've missed it, haven't you, Sam? You've missed it.
I had such a lovely Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
I was still on cloud nine on Sunday.
Happy Monday.
I didn't mind a wet Monday at work. And then this morning I got up to my phone going ping. And my first 5 minutes of Tuesday was listening to that. I've got nothing else. Nothing else.
No, you said, what about the cleaning of the car, Baba Job? You like that?
Oh, yeah. John Bevan's car, cleaning the car, the Scout.
I like the John Bevan bit.
Yeah.
Predictions.
We can predict the future.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Yes, Wire are just one game away from Old Trafford. However, it's not going to be easy as they take on Hull KR this Friday night, 8 p.m. The game is live on Sky. The other semi-final, Wigan versus Lee, will be played on Saturday at 5:30. The match will be broadcast on Sky and also on BBC Two. Here's Hal.
Well, well, well. Can you believe it? Wire are in the semi-final. I nearly blew my flux capacitor when George Williams kicked the winning drop goal. Right then, it's on the Humberside, where computers are still to be invented. Hull Kingston Rovers versus Warrington. We'll see Warrington win, scoring 70% of the points. Yes, you better believe it, the Warrington Wolves will be off to Old Trafford, Manchester. Oh, and take an umbrella, because the fucking roof leaks.
Well, Hal's quite positive. Can I just say that Hal is bottom of the predictions? So,
yeah, I've noticed that he's fell well away.
Can you reprogram him, Dennis? What did you take him on holiday with you? Did he come over to Portugal with you?
Yeah, he lived in the van and everything. He had a really good time in the van. I think what it is like back with you now. So it's yeah.
I'll change the batteries.
Yeah, yeah, do that. Now, listen, rather than just give predictions, let's talk a bit about Hull KR this week, you know, because we've had a few letters in saying that, you know, we just sort of skip past it and we're egotistical trying to get to the top of this bloody league. Let's talk about Hull KR. So I've made a few notes here.
Excellent.
Talking
Excellent.
Points.
Okay, fire away.
Firstly, let's talk about the ticket fiasco. That Sam's received today. Now, I'm calling it a fiasco, but I have got some points on this I'd like to express. Sam, just explain what happened.
That was a friend of mine forwarded it on to me that tried to get... Jesus. Warrington have sold out to their allocation and clearly someone's gone on to try and buy a seat somewhere else in the ground and has received a standard letter saying, you're clearly not a Hull KR fan. You can't have that ticket.
Should have clicked his Humberside VPN on and he'd been fine. Mm. That's what they would have been fine.
That's true. So what do we think about that? Are we happy with that? Or is it legitimate? Or what's your feeling,
I think
Rob?
It's fair enough, isn't it? If they've got home advantage, they want to try and make it as red and white as they possibly can. So, and if they can fill it out. Apparently, I don't think they do fill it out, do they? They're a bit sketchy on their figures, someone mentioned to me.
They only this year they chose only to release their figures in blocks for whatever reason, I don't know.
Right.
They've averaged just over 10,000 this year. Just over 10,000.
What's the capacity? Is it about 12? Is it 12,000 there?
Not quite sure, Dennis, since the change.
So the final thing on the ticket thing is, I totally agree. I think, you know, if you want to sort of have any influence on that, finish second, you know, that's what you know, one and two gets you a week off. You do what you want. The only other thing is that would it be palatable to move it to Hull FC's ground, do you think, to just get more people in there?
They wouldn't fill it. No one's interested in watching this. Everyone sits at home watching it on the couch with two cushions behind their back. Like, if you opened it up to a big stadium, they'd be lucky if they got 15. I bet they would only get 13,000. No one's... The other thing was, is why on earth are Warrington traipsing over to Humberside on a Friday night when I'm presuming everyone's still, you know, doing manual labour in Warrington and, you know, whatever they do, having to clean the chuck keys and whatever they do, empty the bottles.
Yeah.
And when Wigan and Lee's on the Saturday, why wouldn't you flip them round?
Well, why don't you have a Saturday and a Sunday match? Even better.
Well, that would be ideal, Dennis. But the Friday night is a big TV obligation, isn't it? But
are you going? Are you? Would you driving over there on a Friday, Sam? That's a nightmare.
Well, I did try to get a ticket, but I was too late because I was being a very good family member. My stepmom wanted to go. She gave up her season ticket 2 years ago, after my dad had passed away, and she had still been going, but she gave it up.
Get that. Our tune music out.
Yeah. So I had to wait until lunchtime on Monday before I could buy two tickets because I could only get one for myself.
Trying to buy them in the Hull End, weren't you?
Yeah.
Trying to buy them in the Hull End. That letter was to Sam for sure.
From the Hull End. Yeah. I know it was. but anyway.
Can you not email Ganson? Can you not maybe... Now you're in at the RFL, can you not email him and see if you can get a ticket that way? No?
Let's leave him. Just
while I remember, I think we've got 200 Oasis tickets coming our way very soon to give out. So
I don't want one. Anyway, you can shove it. But listen, Sam Burgess made a point as well.
A moment.
I was thinking about the way that the turnaround for games... Surely if they had the games reversed, each would have had seven days off.
Yes.
You are talking about the RFL here though, Dennis. This is where this is the cat.
When's Ralph coming on?
Right, my Hull KR bit is I remember that bloke on the wing for Hull KR. I think Bernard Cribbins did the entertainment at Wembley. It was Hull versus Hull KR. And They had a winger. He had his socks down and he had a beard and he scored at Wembley. I don't know his name. Someone could tell us. But I think that's the last time.
Was it not Fairburn? Was he not fullback?
He could have been a fullback. He could have been the fullback. But I think that's the last time anyone scored at Wembley with a beard.
That's rubbish. That's
all right, name
nonsense.
Is someone else who's scored at Wembley with a beard.
Daryl Clark.
Stubble.
I don't even know if he scored.
He did score. He scored famously for Warrington against St. Helens. Right. Before we go on to the predictions, because it could, of course, all go wrong, but we're feeling really positive, or I'm feeling really positive at the minute. Season to date, Challenge Cup final, 74% win rate, third in the league. Highest point scorers in the regular season, meanest defence. We've won our first playoff game in ages because we'd lost the previous four in the first round. A successful season to date? Exceeded your expectations that we're talking about going to Hull KR in an elimination game? Has that exceeded what you thought would happen?
Well, it is, but hot off the press, Sam Burgess hasn't been named as one of the coaches of the year.
Correct, he
even
hasn't.
Even though we've finished in the top three, which is maybe a surprise, being it's his rookie year. I would have thought that would have been the case. What do you think, Rob?
Well, I did send a message after the game and said, would Daryl have won that in normal time and not golden point? I'm still waiting for your responses. Not heard from you.
Yeah.
Matty Russell's joined him at Wakefield.
He has, yes.
I thought, for fuck's sake. Yeah. Daryl, you never learn. Yeah. You never learn, son. You never learn.
So how are we going to beat Hull KR? Well, what do you think we need to do to
beat
Hull KR?
I think a good bit of thuggery would come into play here. Now, I remember going to a game once when Saints were playing Warrington at Wilderspool and Saints had Harry Pinner playing. And Pinner was just the linchpin in the pin in the Harry Pinner game. Carl Webb flattened him in the first few minutes. He was clearly under instruction, I think from maybe Ashcroft at the time, to wallop Pinner. And he walloped Pinner. Webb got sent off, but we went on to win with 12 men because they couldn't play without Pinner. Now, I think their scrum half needs a jolly good walloping. I think the first opportunity Bateman gets...
Josh Drinkwater to hit him.
I mean, you could think of it that way. I mean, it's a bit like, what was the film score called where they escaped to victory, right?
And yes.
They had to sacrifice the goalkeeper by breaking his arm so Stallone could go in nets. I'm thinking, who is the person we could probably sacrifice by?
You can't sacrifice Bateman because he'd be banned for the final if your plan went to fruition.
I'll put this to you then. Are we better playing Hull KR 13 against 13, or are we better playing Hull KR with Mikey Lewis knocked out and Warrington down a man of Josh Drinkwater? We play without Drinkwater, 12 men against them without Mikey Lewis. Just saying.
You're just saying. I mean, I went for more of the mental side of the things. You've just gone for fucking knocking hell out of each other. Yeah, I thought, right, that we need to break the spirit. That's what I think you need to do. And force them into, like, you know, some kind of panic.
And how are you breaking the spirit? With an elbow?
Well, no, not with your tactics. But I do think we need to be quite physical. But I think the importance of this match is going to take place in the first 15 minutes, 20 minutes, because... if they believe that they can, you know, and they score and this, that, and the other, they get a bit of a belief that they're going to be hard to beat after that. I don't think we'll be able to come back. I think if we can beat them in that first 15, 20 minutes, then we'll win, because I think their spirit will go. They've not been in a, like, you know, a playoff game. Like we've seen, like, you know, some big teams before crumble on the day. I mean, Warrington have done it for the past 20 years. So, you know, it's there for the taking if we can win that first bit.
I think Hiku might have other ideas. I think he is the best centre in the British game. And I remember last time I was over and I went to a Warrington game, it was a cold night. There was hardly anyone there. And it was when Hicku was playing. I think Smith was coming to the end of his reign. And he got a ball out on the right edge and he just very subtly flicked it out the back of his right hand. I can't remember which winger he sent in. I just nodded to my dad and went, he's class. He shouldn't be in this league, that lad. And I know he struggled over in the Warriors or wherever he was, but I just think he's the one to watch. Hicku and Mikey Lewis.
Hicku's got a little bit of class about him. He is older and slower, but I just think they are they've demonstrated that they're tough right across the pitch. So I'm actually broadly in agreement with Dennis. I think the first 15 or 20 minutes, we've got to match them physically and make very few errors, because if we keep them further away from our try line, the high bomb from Mikey Lewis for Tyrone May to catch that seems to be a favourite play of theirs. It's not five drives and a kick to Toby King. It's five drives and a bomb from Mikey Lewis for Tyrone May quite often.
I wonder what the penalty count's going to be like with that crowd behind the referee.
Yes. Who is the ref, Sam? Have you got the referee? Who it is?
Not got the ref yet. Not seen who the ref is yet.
Disappointing.
But do you want to know how close it has been potentially between these two teams?
Oh, yes, all please. Year?
At home, Hull have scored an average of 29.5 points.
What about Hull KR?
Hull KR, even. Away from home, Warrington scored an average of 29.3 points. At home, Hull KR have conceded
Kingston Rovers
11.9, and Warrington have conceded 11.5.
Warrington Wolves.
If you take them as across the place, Warrington are going to win 17.9 points to 17.6
against Hull Kingston Rovers.
Warrington Wolves Rugby League Football Club against away at Hull Kingston Rovers Rugby League Football Club.
Good.
See, it's so tight. I think ball control. Ashton, Dufty, and Williams win it for Warrington. But if we don't keep hold of the ball,
Sam, just look how anxious he is because we've dragged this out. Look at him; he started chewing his nails and everything. Now,
boys on school holidays, I don't have to rush today. Yeah. We could do another hour if you want to drag out your tackle bags, Dennis. All right. Well, before we predict the Warrington game, the Warrington Wolves game against Hull Kingston Rovers Football Club, Wigan versus Lee. What are you thinking, Sam?
I'm thinking Wigan 0, Lee 40.
Wow. Excellent.
And then when I wake up to see the actual score of Wigan 34, Lee 6.
You don't think we're going to have any problem at all against Lee?
I think it's unlikely.
Okay. Dennis, Wigan all the way?
Yeah, I can't. It's not even worth watching, is it? It really isn't worth watching. What do you think?
I'm not watching it. I'm not getting up and watch. When's it on? 2:30 in the morning. Fuck that. Watching that. right then. Okay. So Hal's gone. I've not written down the running order. Who's going first? 70. Shall I go? Because I'm not in the competition anymore. So I think it's imperative that I continue in my predictions that keep going wrong for us to win. So I went for Saints last week, and obviously Warrington won. So I'll go for a Hull KR win. I'll go Hull KR 32, Wire 14.
Oh, okay. Oh, just a minute.
Oh, that's not a percentage,
is it? There's
no
weird... No, yeah, there's no weird bonus point for predicting exactly the right score.
I'll go 66% Hull KR.
You said that about Saints. Okay. 66.
Do you want to do paper, scissors, stone? See who's going next.
Yeah, let's do
I'm
that.
I'm happy to go. Ready? Come on. Oh, he's happy to go. He's happy to go. Oh, he's doing it. Here we go. Sam looks like he's wanking. I only see the
I've
top
done
of
it.
His hand.
Right,
oh, he's done
ready?
It.
Right. Yeah.
Lift them up. Now,
what
lift
is
up.
It? Oh, he's just changed just... it. Oh, I've
won.
First. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. All right, go.
Just to explain to the listener there, Sam, Dennis held up scissors. Yeah. Sam had about a week to hold up what he needed to hold up, and he still held up paper.
That's because I don't cheat. Hull KR.
Go on then, Sam.
Hull KR 51%. They'll win. They'll win on a drop goal.
Party pooper. Party pooper. Jesus. Come on, Dennis. Right, let's have some positivity from you. Just bear in mind, you need to win the comp, so you need to get some points. So you need to move away from his score. Yeah. Just to let you know.
Yeah. So Warrington, 78%.
You didn't need to move that far away from the score.
I was going to say 51, but I was looking for his expression to think, what the fucking hell are you doing?
Okay, hopefully we'll be back to preview Wire in the Super League Grand Final. But until then, it's an hour year from Sam.
All the best.
An hour decade from Dennis.
For seeing you.
And an hour century from me. Feels like we've been doing this podcast a century. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I think my scrotum's just popped again. Because she's dirty, and I don't have a decent bone in me. What you get is just what you see. Yeah, I see so, I take it greedy, and all the bad, ugly things I feel. I never held for gifts as a needy. Come on and see me. Say, so come on and say yeah.